Please stand for the Psalter, Psalm 111, found in the blue hymnal on page 832. Praise the Lord.
I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart, in the congregation.
Great are the works of the Lord, studied by all who have pleasure in them.
All honor and majesty are the works of the Lord, whose righteousness endures forever.
Who has caused his wonderful works to be remembered? The Lord is gracious and merciful.
The Lord is my true for the faithful, and ever mindful of his covenant.
Has shown his people the power of his works by giving them the heritage of the nations.
The works of the Lord's hands are faithful and just. The precepts of the Lord are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever. Speak with warmth, with faithfulness, and uprightness.
The Lord sent redemption to his people and has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and wondrous is God's name.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All those who practice it have a good understanding. The praise of the Lord endures forever.
A reading from Ephesians. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of time, because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't fill yourselves up with wine, that is just sleazy. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs amongst yourselves, singing and making melody to the Lord in your hearts, giving thanks to the God, the life-giver, at all times, for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from John's Gospel in the 6th chapter. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever trusts in me will never be thirsty. And he said, I am the living bread that has come down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. Now, people argued with this and said, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, listen, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh and drink the blood of the human one, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life. and I will raise them up on the last day. For my flesh is actual food. My blood is real drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood live in me, and I in them. Just as Abba God sent me, and I live because of God, so those who eat me live because of me. This is the bread that has come down from heaven, unlike that your ancestors ate and they died. Those who eat this bread live forever. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's a little gross. That's a little much. Especially when he says three times over, eat my flesh, drink my blood. Early critics of the Christian movement thought that there was some sort of literal cannibalistic weird thing going on there. So how do we make sense of that? Well, one thing is to remember that John wrote his gospel 60 years after Jesus died. And these are probably not words that Jesus said before his death. They're probably what Jesus said after his resurrection, revealed to the church. By the time John wrote his gospel in the 90s, the church was an institution. There was a bureaucracy. There was a pope. There were pastors. There was a liturgy. And there was communion. So part of what John is saying in the 90s by putting these words in Jesus' mouth is you should participate in the Eucharist and eat the bread and drink the wine. That's part of it. In the 90s, Paul's letters have been in circulation for 45 years, so everybody knows Paul's language about the church being the body of Christ. So there is this sense in which we are all flesh and blood of Jesus, and we're being invited to partake in that, to be a part of the church. That makes sense, too. That's not quite so gross. Still, eat my flesh, drink my blood. And he says it three times. Even when people say, wait, that's weird. He makes it worse instead of better. That's the kind of saying that Jesus does that makes you just kind of want to hold him at arm's length. I don't know what he's talking about. But it turns out that that's exactly what he's talking about. That we hold him at arm's length. Our faith is sometimes only dimly related to Jesus. If you really asked a lot of Christians and a lot of us, so what is your faith? We would say, well, you know, God is nice and you should be a good person. Can you get more specific? Well, you should follow the Ten Commandments and believe in Jesus. Oh, whew. Jesus finally made it in. John understands the temptation to have a faith that's about Jesus instead of faith that is Jesus. That's what Jesus is inviting us to do. To take him into ourselves. To eat him up. If you listen to my sermon and it's pretty thought-provoking, you might say, I'm going to need some time to chew on that. Right? And if it's particularly challenging, you might say, that's going to take some time to digest. And then you might decide that you disagree with me and you'll say, I don't think I can swallow that. See what's happening? On the other hand, when I'm going and you're really having fun, or if you're listening to music that you love, or a really interesting lecture, or an inspiring speaker, you are eating it up. Jesus is saying, eat me up. Come on. Chow down. Dig in. I am the bread of life. What do you do with bread? You don't put it on the mantle and adore it. You don't develop some theological ideas about bread. You slice it up and toast it and eat it. This afternoon, I'm hoping that Aaron and Becky will be out from Boston, and I'll be hot and hungry, and I love those kids. So what will we do after we go swimming in Walden Pond? We'll drive over to Kimball's and talk about ice cream. No way! I'm going to get chocolate truffle and a waffle cone and not a kiddie size either. And I'm probably going to have to get a bowl and a spoon because it's going to be all down my front. Jesus says, yeah, do that with me. Do that with me. Do that with Jesus. Get a double scoop waffle cone of Jesus and just lick it till it's all over your face. Get into Jesus. That's what I think Jesus is inviting us to do, because you are what you eat. Right? All the iron in your blood came from what you ate. All the calcium in your bones comes out of your food. You don't get it over the radio. All the protein in your muscles, all those little elements, all the nitrogen and phosphorus and stuff that's in those brain synapses that make you think, you ate that. That's where it came from. So eat Jesus. Let him become part of who you are. Just like a bite of the best food in the world not only tastes good, but then it becomes the cells of your body. And Jesus is actually in you. Imagine if Jesus is not just some guy that died a long time ago that you believe some stuff about, but is actually inside you, in your eyes. So that when you look out at the world, you're seeing things from your perspective. And in your eyes, Jesus is seeing things from Jesus' perspective in your head. And all you have to do is just see that way. What if you knew that Jesus is in your hands? And every time you reach out your hand to shake somebody's hand, you think you're just shaking their hand. But Jesus is there reaching out to bless them and heal them. And you know that. What if Jesus is inside your mouth? And in between that journey that's sometimes pretty short and sometimes way long and circuitous between your brain and your mouth, Jesus is in the middle of that and blurts stuff out that you didn't even mean to say. But you are so ready for Jesus to be in your mouth that you say gospel without even having to think about it. How do you get that way? You got to eat Jesus. You got to eat him up. You got to consume him. You got to really get intimate. And it's not going to happen by having ideas about Jesus. You've heard this before. You're going to have to go home and crack open that Bible and read it. And it won't happen if the only time you ever confront Jesus is when you read the Bible, especially if the only time you ever confront the Bible is when Pastor Steve reads about it on Sunday morning. You're going to have to read the Bible every day, because like any diet, one serving won't do it. You can't have a serving of Jesus and suddenly be healthy. You're going to have a steady diet and engage and let him get under your skin, get inside you, so that this living being has some kind of presence in you. You don't have to get it. You don't have to understand. You don't have to know the recipe to love the food. You don't have to understand how it is that metabolism turns this really good shrimp into muscles and energy. Just eat good food and it'll happen. Engage with Jesus and something happens. Because what Jesus is about is the embodiment of God's love. That's what Jesus means when he says you have to eat and drink, eat the flesh and drink the blood of the human one. The old-fashioned language for that is the Son of Man, which could easily be said to be daughter of woman. It means really, really human one, but really human in the way that God is really human. Like, for instance, Jesus. What Jesus is about is embodying the way God is human and the way humans are divine. And when we embody that and receive that embodiment, when we drink that flesh, that blood, and eat that flesh, then that embodiment is ours and it becomes us. And we are in the love of God, and the love of God is in us. They abide in me and I in them. And then, through that intimate interchange with Jesus, letting him be on our insides, do stuff that we don't have control over, we really experience this infinite, amazing love of God. The kind of love that Abba had for Jesus, the kind of love that every mother has for her little child. And what mother in this world, at one time or another, hasn't picked up their little toddler and held him in her arms and looked at him and said, "Oh, I love you so much, I could eat you." Do it. Eat him up. There will always be more. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for your love that is so infinite and yet that is embodied in us and around us. Bless us that we might deeply engage with your love in Jesus, that we might eat and drink what it is to be human, in all its glory and all its suffering, in our lives and the lives of those around us, near and far. Let the suffering of those who are oppressed consume us. Let the joy of those who know love and beauty nourish us. God, though we do not understand it, help us to eat Jesus, to savor his love, to be nourished by his presence. God of grace, we thank you for your love embodied in Jesus and pray that we too might embody that love. So we give you thanks and we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your word, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.